105.5 Triple M, the sound of Madison. It's Jonathan and Kitty in the morning, and playing at Overture Hall, it's Finding Neverland, and we have the two leads are actually here today, Kitty. They must not be familiar with our interviews.
They must have been tricked
somehow. Yeah, absolutely. We have Jeff Sullivan and Rudy Gibbs here. Good morning. Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Good morning.
Get into the mic close.
All right,
I'll kiss your face
in
there. All right. So before we delve into your personal lives, because the internet is a great place, let's talk about Finding Neverland a little bit. Based on the movie, right? Really? Did it kind of come from the movie? Do we know? Is that not true?
Kind of. No, it is a different version than what we see on film.
Okay.
So there's a real life version, a reality version.
Right.
There is a movie version with Johnny Depp and Kate Winslet. And then there is a musical version, which is much more of like a heightened love story version of this show. It's beautiful. It's magical. But yeah, you could almost say that the musical is the happiest version that you're going to see of this show.
All right. So tell us a little bit, I guess. It's really the story of how Peter Pan was created, right?
Yeah, the story of how Peter became Pan is essentially the slogan. But you see it through the eyes of J.M. Barrie, the writer of Peter Pan, and he proceeds to tell the story and what influenced and what inspired his frustration with putting out the same kind of material over and over again that he didn't like. And then this wonderful lady comes into his life and opens his eyes to realize that he's been writing the same thing over and over again. So he's got to change that up if he wants to succeed. And so through her children, he is totally inspired. And through her primarily as well, he gets this whole wave of creation that takes a long time and the pressure's on. But he takes the time to dedicate to create this new creation that has lasted over 100 years at this point. Yeah.
Wow. So Jeff was kind of babbling on there, Rudy, because I felt like you were going to jump in and add something. Were you?
Oh, well, I guess what I was going to say.
I meant that in the most positive way possible.
No, we've done enough press to know.
That's why I always go. I point to her for the first question. Always.
Right.
I say, take the lead, please.
Yeah.
I was gonna go on and say that it's not just the wonderful, wonderful lady. It's also my four beautiful young boys that inspire a lot of this show.
She's pretty inspirational.
Oh, thanks.
Oh,
Finding
so
Neverland
sweet.
Is at Overture Hall. And okay, so now a little digging.
Oh, I'm nervous.
Into the World Wide Web.
I heard about this.
Tell us a little bit about playing a dog.
Here it is. Let's go.
There we go. Here we go.
So that was one of the funniest things coming into this show, even just auditioning for it, was having played Nana in Peter Pan only like 3 years ago. Like this was pretty recently.
Not in grade school.
No.
A grown man.
He does have a beard.
Dog.
He does look young, but he has a beard.
I did have the beard because I played a pirate as well.
Okay.
I played all the things that you would play in Peter Pan. But I actually played Nana in Peter Pan at Tuacon Amphitheater. In 2016, I believe, and it was an outdoor venue in the middle of the Utah desert. So you've got this big, huge fur suit all on all fours out in like the rubberized stage is essentially like it would heat up to like 120, 130 degrees. So I had ice vests on the inside, wristlets, cuffs, everything. It was surprisingly one of my favorite roles I've ever played. I kid you not. It
How
was
did you
so
get your
fun.
Motivation?
Yes.
Well, okay, so this is a kind of a random tidbit, but one of J.M. Barrie's dogs was a Newfoundland dog, and I'm actually from Newfoundland, which is like a random other tidbit. But it was actually kind of an honor to play a little bit of Nana and to interact with the kids in a certain way that a lot of the other cast doesn't get to interact and be goofy and funny and do all those voiceover sound work. Mm-hmm. It was really actually quite fun playing Nana.
And Kitty actually can relate to this.
Oh, I was Toto on stage. No, you. Oh. Yeah.
You were Toto.
I was. And you.
And I was Dorothy.
And Jonathan was Dorothy.
No yes. way.
It yeah. was but not
is
for a full musical.
And is it on YouTube?
It has all been destroyed. So you'll never be able to see it. So you mentioned, so you're from Canada, yeah. And actually ICE officers are here. They're going to take you away and deport you after this interview.
No. He's working so hard.
You do have
I swear
to get,
I have my paperwork here.
Yeah, you do have to... to work, how long have you been in the States? Like, that's, yeah. I mean, all kidding aside,
yeah.
like, you could get kicked out, right? I mean,
no.
Do you have a green card, or how does it work?
No, I cannot get kicked out.
Do you need someone to marry you? Or
no. Okay. I mean, essentially, that would give job security. Sure, right. Absolutely, if I got married, but that's a whole different story. But essentially, when you go to school here in the States, you get, like, a working visa to then pursue what you studied, And so I did that. And then I jumped from that to an artist visa. So I've been on an artist visa for the last numerous years, which is a very complicated process.
I'm sure.
A lot of time. But from then on, my next step would be the green card, actually. So
gotcha.
I'm currently on that artist visa.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. No
good.
Worries. I'm not here just stealing people's jobs left, right, and center.
Finding Neverland, coming over to a hall. So, or it's here, I should say. It's here now through Sunday. Ruby.
Yeah.
So in the little thing I could find on the web about you, it talked about how you're acting when you were young. You needed to improve your acting.
Yeah.
So there was something that you practiced.
And, there was.
And that you still can do, supposedly. So give us a little background, though, about what you grew up in North Carolina.
I grew up in North Carolina.
Right. And you could sing, dance.
I could. I could. Surprisingly, I could. From a very young age. My mom used to push me on the swing. I can remember being 3 or 4 and just like singing my heart out in the local park. So I think I had this voice from a while back.
Uh-huh.
I started dance classes by the time I was 4. And I have 2 older sisters who are also in the arts. So I was always at their middle school productions, their high school productions backstage. By the time I was in 3rd grade, I went to a wonderful elementary school that offered an elective where 3rd through 5th graders could be a part of the musical.
Cool.
And so I auditioned my third grade, and I got a singing solo, but nothing else, no lines. 4th grade, the same thing happens. I'm only a singer. I'm just a singer. And what do we know about just? Wrong. Just is the most pointless word in the English language. I remember at the end of 4th grade, I was like, listen. Well, I guess it was maybe the beginning of 5th grade, before the audition process. I said to my teacher, I really want just one line. Like, what do I need to do to have one line? And she said, well, you're a very strong singer and dancer, but you need to work on your acting, which was totally valid. I mean, what 5th grader really, really knows how to, like, get that emotional depth? But I was given a monologue from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and I drilled that. I can still see myself drilling it in the mirror as a 5th grader. And I drilled that so hard. I did my singing audition and was like, nailed it. Did my dancing. Awesome. And then I was so nervous. The acting was the last thing I had to do. And I did my monologue. I used a chair, which I think was a very dramatic choice for a 5th grader. And I finished my monologue, and my teacher, I remember this very clearly, she slammed her hands on the desk and said, now we can put on a show.
All right.
And yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So give us a little right now.
I'm a gum chewer normally, but when I heard about these ticket things of Mr. Wonka's, I laid off the gum and switched to candy bars in the hopes of striking it lucky. Now, of course, I'm right back on gum. I just adore gum. I can't live without it. Each night, I put it at the end of my bedpost, and it's good as ever in the morning. I'm pretty sure that's exactly how I said it.
That's beautiful.
But that was
amazing.
The entire,
awesome.
Right?
That was great.
That was the entire monologue.
Are you ever afraid you're going to, all of a sudden, right in the middle, maybe tonight,
head
over chair.
That's our inspiration for play tonight.
Oh, my God.
Please do it.
Can you imagine?
Jeff Sullivan, Rudy Gibbs, thank you so much for coming in. Finding Neverland sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Get a chance to see it at Overture Hall. Guys, thanks for coming.
Thank you for having
you.
Us.
Thanks.